Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You can sense it calling out to you.
New reality seeks you.
Join the journey to save Anomaly.
Place where sound is magic. The only way to enter the world is by looking inward.
Along the way, you'll learn potions, chants, and enchantments that will help you both in that reality and yours.
So, answer the call and let your campaign begin.
Featuring the voices of Ruth Conroll from Supernatural and Dead Boy Detectives.
There are ordeals ahead, yet with guidance, you will face them head on without fear.
Todd Stashwick from Star Trek Picard and 12 Monkeys.
When the time arrives, wherever your journey takes you, be there with no attachments.
And R&B singer NC Gray.
There are worlds, realms, dimensions, and realities beyond yours.
Anomaly is a role-playing meditation podcast that takes you into a world of magic and fantasy. You'll be invited to imagine yourself in scenarios such as learning to cast a tranquility spell or exploring a land vanquished by a dragon, but all connected by a shared mythology. The goal of guided fantasy role-playing meditations are to help you cultivate a sense of wonder, curiosity, balance, and joy in your inner world. Role-playing meditation is a form of escapism and relaxation, as well as a creative outlet for the imagination. The first campaign is an introduction to the world of Anomaly, its lands, magic, and secrets. In the 8 chapters, you'll stretch your imagination, learn to center yourself, offer forgiveness, find confidence, relieve stress, and stop racing thoughts. Your true self will emerge, allowing you to manage your goals and dreams without confusion, distrust, or self-doubt. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Or visit seekanomaly.com to learn more. Anomaly spelled with an I-E, not a Y.
Seek Anomaly. Hear its magic.
In 2005, two brothers hit the road to chase demons and fight monsters.
Fighting a couple of angels, too.
And eventually save the world.
A bunch of times. Over 15 years, this series has built one of the most dedicated fan bases in all of entertainment, and that fan base is near and dear to our hearts.
That's right. I'm Rob Benedict. I played Chuck Shirley, a.k.a. God.
And you do a darn good job, too, buddy.
Aw, thanks.
Look, I'm Richard Spade Jr. I played Loki, the Trickster, and Gabriel, and I directed a bunch of episodes.
Wow, is that it?
Well, I directed you. I don't know. What do you think?
Though we worked on the show for years, we never sat down and watched the entire series.
But that was then, and this is now.
That's right. We are watching each episode and inviting the actors, the writers, producers, and crew to join us in digging into the story, the characters, and the mythology.
These guests share some fantastic behind-the-scenes stories with us. You're going to love those, and you're going to get our honest opinion about each and every episode. That's right. Those guests share some fantastic behind-the-scenes stories with us, and each episode gets a full, honest, and unfettered review from Robin Rich. And you get to learn a little bit about how TV is made. Lord knows we have.
And warning, there are spoilers. And don't get frustrated that we haven't caught details for multiple viewings or that we know what happens three seasons from now. This is the first time we're watching these episodes. And you're there for the ride as we watch with our virgin eyes.
Oh, that's creepy. Thanks for joining us on our journey as we deepen our understanding about why you love this series so much.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Benedict.
And I am Richard Spate Jr.
And welcome to Season 5, Episode 1, Sympathy for the Devil.
Robbie, please allow me to introduce myself. I am a man of wealth.
And taste?
Yeah. Yeah, I can say that.
All right.
As I segue into that, it seemed appropriate.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get into that in Fun Facts, where the title of this episode comes from.
Oh, I don't know where it comes from. I was just talking freely.
Are you telling
me
you're introducing yourself to me?
Yeah.
Hey, before we get into it, I just wanted to say thank you to all our listeners who've stayed with us from the bottom of my heart.
It's been an incredible journey. So unlike you to thank the listeners. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's been an incredible journey so far. Also, I got a special note for everybody from our producer, Steve.
Steve Hine?
Yeah, Steve Hine, our producer. Steve says, thank you to everyone that came out to meet him at the podcast meetup in Burbank way back in March. Although,
it feels like just yesterday.
It was actually yesterday. He wants to tell you that he thoroughly enjoyed speaking with each and every one of you.
And he's hoping you will vote for him this November.
Remember Steve when you hit the ballot box.
Believe in Steve. That's his slogan. Steve had it there. It was a meetup, and Steve met up with a lot of the followers of this podcast, and that's awesome. They all got to go out and be social and meet Steve and razz him and give him a hard time.
Razz him and dazz him. So thank you, and super excited. Now we're getting into Season 5, Episode 1. Should we go for it?
Let's dive in. Robert, summarize.
Lucifer's Cage, also the name of my alt-rock group.
I was going to say your death metal band.
Yeah. Lucifer's cage has been opened and the blinding light has brought Sam and Dean to their knees. The brothers suddenly find themselves on a commercial airline flight. Confused, they head to the prophet Chuck's house for answers and to find Castiel.
However, ask you this. Are they surprised because they usually fly private?
Yes, that's what they're so confused about.
Is that what threw them off? Who are all these people on our private plane?
Is this the coach they talk of? They go to Chuck's house to find answers and to find Castiel. However, Chuck informs them that Castiel has been smote by an archangel.
Oh my gosh, he'd been smitten?
Yeah, he's been just downright smitten. Zachariah arrives and pressures Dean to do his duty in battling Lucifer.
You said Dean's, duty.
Haha. Dean sends him away with an Enochian blood symbol. Meanwhile, in Delaware, a man named Nick is having strange visions, including a blood-covered woman who tells him he has been chosen.
I'll tell you what, I would love to be chosen, but I would love for the messenger to be, and I'm fine with the messenger being a woman.
Yeah.
But it's the blood-covered that sort of taints the whole experience for
me. I think that's the disturbing part. Yeah. I'm going to say Delaware. That's where.
Yeesh. Yeah. Yeesh. You had me until Delaware. Robbie is not a Delaware guy. Never has been.
Meanwhile, speaking of me, Chuck has a vision and solicits the help of one of his fans, Becky, to get a message to Sam and Dean. The Michael sword is on Earth. The angels lost it in a castle on a hill made of 42 dogs. That's the message. The boys bring Bobby into the mix to help interpret the message. They realize Michael's sword must be in John Winchester's old storage unit. Suddenly, it is revealed that Bobby is possessed by a demon. He attacks Dean. Meg arrives back from hell in a new body. She tells Demon Bobby to kill Dean. However, Bobby is able to regain control of himself and stabs himself with the demon-killing knife. Meg smokes out and escapes.
Has a quick bong hit and then takes off.
Exactly. Nice. Sam and Dean leave Bobby in a hospital and head to Buffalo, New York to search John's storage unit.
You know why they go there?
Why?
It's birthplace of the Buffalo Wing.
Oh.
A lot of people think it's the Anchor Bar. Other people think it's a bar called Duff's. Uh-huh. I personally have been to the Anchor Bar. The wings were great. And if that is the birthplace of the Buffalo Wing, well, then I've been there. But if it's Duff's, I haven't been there. Okay. Anyway, the point being, we got to go to Buffalo, New York, and go to both Duff's and the Anchor Bar, Robbie. We got to do that. Mm-hmm.
By the way.
Just like Sam and Dean.
This is the monologue he goes into any time you mention Buffalo, New York.
Well, Buffalo Wings, man. Anchor Bar. Come on. Duff's.
Sure.
Who's with me?
Let's do it. I'm eager to see John's storage unit.
Boy.
I thought you're going to go off on John's storage unit.
It sounds dirty. I just want to say, when you say John's storage unit, it definitely sounds like you want to see John's storage unit. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
in air quotes.
I knew you'd go there. There are dead demon meat suits in the storage unit. Zachariah is there. He tells
That's
the
another
boys,
good band name.
Which?
Dead demon meat suits.
Demon meat suits. Yeah, punk band from the 80s. Zachariah is there. He tells the boys that Dean is Michael Sword, the Archangel's chosen vessel. Dean refuses. Life is an angel condom. That's real fun. I think I'll pass.
Do that again as Dean, please.
Life is an angel condom. That's real fun. I think I'll pass.
And
better?
Scene.
Pretty good. Zachariah starts to torture the boys. Castiel arrives! Exclamation point. Back from the dead! Exclamation point. He kills the other angels, but a confused Zachariah escapes. Castiel carves Enochian sigils into Sam and Dean's ribs to hide them from the angels going forward. Lucifer appears to Nick in a dream in the form of Nick's dead wife. Lucifer manipulates Nick into offering his body to Lucifer to be his vessel. Nick's wife and child were brutally murdered by an intruder. Lucifer says God allowed this to happen. Sam and Dean visit Bobby in the hospital and hear that the doctors have told Bobby he may never walk again. Dean gives a stirring speech about taking everyone on, angels and demons. Later, Dean admits to Sam that he's not sure if he can trust Sam.
I'm not sure you can trust Sam. I mean,
and we're off. We're off to the races.
We are off to the races. All right, well.
Season five.
Let's talk about it. Let's do, well, I guess officially we should say what we're doing. We're doing
Okay. So I remember watching this episode when it came out because I was in it. So it was one of the ones I actually watched. And I remember being really blown away by the Lucifer storyline. I just thought that the Nick storyline and Pellegrino's, the way Pellegrino plays it, it was haunting. It was really well done. I really felt like it wasn't like anything else we're seeing on TV at this time. You know, it's very Exorcist in a way. To me, that's what makes this episode is that Lucifer story plotline. I really dug that.
I will say that it's great having Mark Pellegrino on the show at this point. He's so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, a couple of things that surprised me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you were in this episode. And you're great. Mm-hmm. I love the whole bit about the tooth and the hair. That was all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea you were showing up, so that was cool. Secondly, did you understand why they ended up on the commercial plane?
No, I don't think we know that yet.
I'm like, what did I miss that I don't understand why they ended up on
I still don't know that, but I'm assuming we're going to find out. It's very Lost.
Okay, so I didn't miss anything there.
I don't think so, unless I missed it too, but I don't think so.
I loved the Pellegrino stuff, the Lucifer stuff, the origin story of that was really gruesome and cool and dark and well executed. The actress who played the wife who came back to him to, you know, convince him to become Lucifer or to let, you know, to invite Lucifer into his vessel was really great. And that whole scene was really.
It's his wife, his dead wife.
Really cool.
Yeah. His dead wife.
Say it again?
It's his dead wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dead wife was great. That actress was great. And I mean, the continuing of the angel thing. I always love Kurt Fuller, and obviously Misha's great, and the boys are great. And Rachel, great to see her.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it all.
How many people are in it? I feel like you're getting to a big butt.
No, I guess my butt is, I was just south of loving it. I loved your part. I loved Mark's part. I loved the individual components, but it felt very much like a continued story versus an episode. You know, I felt like I was writing part of an episode.
My excuse for it would be that it's episode one and it's just setting us up for for what's going to lay out this season. I just think it's one of those, a lot of times, you know, you'll watch, someone will tell you to watch White Lotus or something, and you see the first episode and you're like, I don't see what all the fuss is about, but you just need to keep watching, you know?
Yeah.
I think we'll probably find out what the plane's about. I really don't know what the plane's about, but hopefully we'll find that out. And
what if we never do?
Then screw this episode.
We're going to go back and amend our review.
No, I thought, I think Zachariah's great. I really like that scene. I remember doing that scene. That was when I actually accidentally hit Jared with that plunger.
Man, don't you wish you could go back and do that about 8 more times? Pow, pow, pow.
It was a soft plunger too, so it wouldn't really hurt anybody. And then I apologized to him and he looked at me like, what do you mean?
The soft plungers are a good name for a band.
I always loved the soft plungers. Their older stuff was better.
when they were a little harder.
Before they got
firmer plungers.
Before they got experimental. I liked it.
Well, you're not exactly bubbling over either, my friend.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I'd forgotten about the part where Bobby's possessed. That's really freaky because, you know, you never see Bobby go bad.
You see Jimmy the Bee Beaver being that guy, you know what I mean?
And also, I don't know what happens. How is he ever going to walk again? I don't know what's going to happen here.
Well, that's a lot. You know exactly what's going to happen. But I mean, theoretically, yeah.
Well, I know he does walk again. But how? How do we get from he doesn't walk to he walks?
I'm just wondering if Jim's eyes will ever go back to normal.
His eyes got weird?
Yeah, they turned black. They were demons.
I think the demon's gone now.
Okay.
I think I can safely say his eyes are back. But how is he going to learn to walk again? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
And just the release of Lucifer, I just think, to me, that's the headline.
Right, that is the headline. Don't bury it.
Lucifer finds a vessel.
Yeah. Man finds tooth and hair.
Do we find anything else out about who killed Nick's wife and child?
I don't know. I directed an episode about that same storyline, season 12 or something like that. So it was an ongoing thing for a long time.
Because I always thought, first time I saw this episode, that he might have done it. Like, maybe Nick's an evil dude.
We might find out. I don't know. I just genuinely don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a question. Whose tooth was in your hair?
Misha, Castiel's.
Oh, it was Castiel's from Castiel blown up?
Yeah.
Angel had, I guess it would be Jimmy's teeth. Well, then.
He like exploded everywhere, all over everything.
Okay, maybe I'm going down a rabbit hole or pulling a thread on a sweater, but when Meg falls off the roof and goes kersplat, the demon has to take over a new meat suit because the meat suit's ruined. How come the Jimmy Novak meat suit isn't ruined when Misha explodes?
That might be a question for higher up, higher than God. I don't know.
It smells like somebody was on contract to me. Oh, I got to bring Misha back.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, based on the story and the way the show has worked previously, if the meat suit goes kablooey, you would need to come up with a new meat suit.
Yeah.
Which, same thing that they did with Alistair.
Yeah, you'd think. Maybe they cast another actor that looks a lot like Misha Collins.
Maybe that's Al Cal.
Change his name to Misha Collins. Yeah, it could be Al Cal.
Well, Alice Calvert, even though he would have been 14 at the time.
Yeah, I was going to say he would have been 12. Anyway, well, let's hear it. Let's hear the beard.
Well, it's not getting a Stapleton, I'll tell you that right now.
Wow, okay.
Anybody out there hoping for a Stapleton could be sorely disappointed, because ain't no Stapleton coming for this bad boy. I'm going Mick Jagger with a beard in 1979.
Jesus, what? I didn't know
that's
that
Mick
was
Jagger in 79. He had a beard for a moment.
Looks like
And
Jim
your
Morrison.
Reaction is exactly right. It's a big, full beard for people who look it up. But the problem is, something about it just ain't right. Something about it just ain't right. Mick Jagger with a beard, it just...
What?
It's a healthy beard. It's a lot of hair. But it just somehow, it's just not all snapping together. Right. But
that's
in honor
crazy.
Of Sympathy for the Devil being the title, it seems appropriate to go with Mick Jagger, 1979 beard. Again, big full beard, a lot of hair, man can grow a beard, but something about it just kind of feels, I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
Because I like parts of the episode. I love each individual part of the episode, but as a cohesive episode, I didn't love it.
All right, I'm going to go then just following British stars.
British beard stars.
Beard rock stars. George Harrison.
Okay.
1971 George Harrison, where the cover of All Things Must Pass, where he kind of has like a long sort of almost pointy beard.
Yeah.
It's like parts of it are like really cool and clean, and parts of it are kind of a little out of control.
Yeah.
He almost kind of looks like a garden gnome. And anyway, so I'm going to go with that. I thought it was really terrific. I thought the Lucifer stuff is essential and just...
100%. The Lucifer really stuff was great.
Yeah, and really iconic. And then parts of it, I'm just like, huh? Because we don't know where we're going from here.
All right, well.
There you have it. We have a real treat for you. There's just one other time in the history of this podcast that we had this guest.
And in the entire history of the podcast?
In the entire history of the podcast. Wow. And probably a year ago or whatever, we started season four. But this gentleman is a fan favorite. He played Castiel for the entirety of the show, and he's a good friend, and he's a wonderful person. It's Misha Collins. So we're talking about season five, and Kripke has said that he never wanted to have angels in the series because they would just swoop in and save the day. But what does Castiel do in the pivotal scene in this episode? You save the day. I don't know if you remember or if you watched this episode, but you come in and...
Yeah. Effortlessly you save the day.
Yeah.
I can see why you guys wanted to interview me right after this episode, because I had that minute of screen time in it.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. You're barely watched the episode, and Rob and I watched the episode, and you were on for such a nanosecond. I did have the thought of like, well, who said no before we had to go to Misha? I mean, like, I feel like there had to be a lot of people with big roles in this episode.
Demon number six was unavailable. He had more screen time.
you're the fifth one down on the list. No, and I actually do a scene with your teeth in my hair in this episode. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a question that Rob and I sort of pondered during the conversation about the episode. In other episodes with other characters, like people who are possessed by demons, if their bodies get mutilated, then that demon has to move to another body. How come you can explode and then Jimmy Novak is just reassembled as Jimmy Novak? How come Castiel didn't have to take over a different...
I'll tell you what the first AD would always say on Supernatural. Rich, don't pull the thread.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Exactly.
What a non-answer.
Well, obviously the answer is because he's a series regular.
I was on contract, so they couldn't afford to hire someone else at that point. They already paid me for the year.
That's smart. So. Genius. They're already pregnant with the Misha Collins baby.
Now, what was that? What was that whole thing like? We talked that briefly last time. I think we talked to you, but you were a guest star for season four, and then season five is when you were like, "Hey, would you ever make me a series regular?" And
Kripke
went for it, right?
Dude, that story's crazy. So tell me that story again. Tell us that story again.
I didn't like dealing with the anxiety of not knowing whether they were going to kill me off in the next little arc. Something that Rob, you I'm sure struggled with for more than a decade on this show.
Exactly.
Is this going to be the end for me?
yeah, for 12 years.
I also thought maybe I should have a little moxie here because I did quite a few episodes in season four. Then it was pretty clear that they were making the character sort of more and more central, and had some plans for it. And I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna ask. Actually, I talked to Suzanne Gomez, who was the publicist at the CW, and she was like, I think you should just call Eric and ask him. And I was like, really? You can do that? You can just call the showrunner and say, how would you feel about making me a series regular? But I did that. And he was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then they did. And it was...
That's crazy.
I mean, I was like, listen, I'm very much in demand right now. And it's pilot season. And I'd hate to, not be available for your stuff because, there's all these pilot operations that are kind of knocking my door down. And they weren't knocking my door down per se. I was desperately trying to get an audition for one, which is similar, but I
parlayed
my desperation into a series regular role.
That's amazing.
So for anybody listening who wants to get into the industry or interested in the behind the scenes, how it happened kind of stuff, this is what we call a giant sandwich of an event, because I can't believe you duped. So we asked Eric about this when we interviewed Eric, and he tells the story very similarly. He's like, yeah, Misha came to me and was very gracious and said he was concerned about other jobs getting in the way of this job, and that he would prefer to focus his energies on Supernatural. And I found that to be a very stand-up actor thing to do. And I'm like, brother, you can't smell desperation. I'm worried about your olfactory senses because that is a move. Are you out of your GD mind, Kripke? Like, are you, oh, he was doing you a solid? Christ, man.
That I had a second. Well, in that case, I run at that though, because Sarah Gamble had written me off the show in the beginning of season 7. She had very in tune olfactory systems. She could smell the shit sandwich in the dailies when they were coming from set in the form of my performance. And she was like, we don't need to deal with this garbage anymore. Just because Eric was tricked doesn't mean I have to be. I'm going to write him off the show. So at the beginning of season 7, I was out. And then at the end of midway through season 7, the president of the network was like, hey, you're not really going to permanently be getting rid of that Castiel character, are you? Finger on the pulse of the fandom, I think, at that point. And so then they came back to me and said, hey, would you be interested? And at that point, I was testing for another pilot and was actually about to go in. Like, I had the contract in my hand and was about to go in to the room to do the audition at Sony Studios for this other pilot. And I had Bob Singer on the line and I was like, listen, right now, if I sign this and then they like me, I'm not available for Supernatural. And I think I'd rather come back to Supernatural. So if you can make that happen, you can tell me on the phone right now that you can figure out how to make that work. I won't sign this and I'll leave this audition right now. So at that point, I wasn't blowing smoke. It was just like a strong negotiating point to be coming from.
That's a strong negotiating point.
Right.
Yeah. And then they negotiated a contract with me and brought me back for about 60% of what they had been paying me on my last contract.
Nice. Well, I mean, I'm telling you, man, if anybody currently working with Eric Kripke is listening to this and wondering if they should lobby for a solidified role in the show, I say go for it. He seems to be the kind of fella that will take that kind of bait. But I got to tell you that I feel like the lion's share of people who go to a showrunner and say, I really feel like I need to get bumped up to series regular. I feel like I'm essential and you're not recognizing that contractually. And I think you need to really allow me to focus more on this character. The next sentence out of their mouth would be, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. I mean, I think it would be over instantly. But, it's baffling that
Tennessee
that works.
Axiom, it is baffling. That you spit out all the time.
I know. Really adds a flavor to the show. I don't know if we always want that flavor, but...
Split you. That's new.
Yeah, good Lord split you, yeah. It really... The barbecue is our podcast.
They pair Rob and me together because Rob is a home run with the sort of effete artsy crowd.
I'm college educated.
And I'm the flyover state guy. Rob's good with sort of the highbrow theater snobs. And I'm the flyover state guy. You know, I'm the people. I'm the host for the people.
Just hold that thought. We're coming right back.
Hey, everybody, Richard Speight Jr. here, and if you know one thing about this guy, it's that I love boots. I wear them all the time, and that's why I love Tecovas, because they are the real deal. These boots are Austin-designed, Texas-tested, and handmade down in the boot-making capital of the world, León, Mexico. Tecovas are all about style, comfort, and tradition. And they're not just about boots. Tecovas is Western to their core. They offer a bunch of other head-to-toe Western staples, like trucker jackets, the perfect jeans to go with your boots, performance pearl snaps, cowboy hats, bandanas, you name it, they got it, and they will get you outfitted. Tecovas believes in Western for all, and you can feel it when you go into the store. You'll walk in, you're going to be greeted like family, unless you don't like your family, in which case you'll be greeted by people nicer than your family. They'll offer you a boot shine, unless you're wearing sandals, and they'll even hand you a drink. And it'll be the hard stuff if that's what you want. Rob Benedict, I'm looking at you. And right then and there, you can get custom fitted for a brand new pair of boots. You can even get custom leather stamping or branding that'll make those brand new boots truly one of a kind. All you gotta do is stop by Tecovas and get into your new boots today. But Rich, I can't make it into a store. They got you covered. Just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. So get on over to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And now back to the episode. Do you remember, Misha, if Kripke was vocal at all about this being his last season? Were you aware?
No. Mm-mm.
Not aware. I know I wasn't, but I didn't know it. I didn't know much.
I was aware that he had originally planned the arc of the show to run for 5 seasons, but it was not, right. It was not being talked about terribly publicly that he was on the way out, at least until quite close to the end of the season, or at least not with me.
Right. Huh. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, and when you look back at it, especially season 4 and 5, like you could tell there's sort of an arc that he's like closing at the end of it, a storyline that he's closing. So season 4 saw Castiel start to sympathize with humans. In season 5, he really goes all in, has fallen from grace, and starts to become more human himself. You've contrasted Castiel's experience with the darker side of humanity with that of Bruno Ganz's character in Wings of Desire, where he played an angel who got to experience the joy of humanity. Is that true?
I don't know, man. I mean,
I don't know either. I mean, it's a statement more than a question.
I mean, but I do think it was an interesting lens into the world of humanity. It's observing specifically these two humans up close of Sam and Dean, these two fairly heroic, mythological, almost iconic characters, but from the perspective of someone who really does not understand humanity at all and is just learning about this new species for the first time. And I think that that perspective that Castiel took on getting to know those relationships was the most important single framing that I thought about as the character evolved. It was just, it's an interesting way to approach a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was fun to play with. It was that fish out of water. It was having the joys and sorrows of experiencing some of those things for the first time, or not being able to experience certain things that the humans experienced, the ways in which he saw himself included and unable to be included. It was both like comic and tragic at the same time. I thought that the show, the writers over time really played the like fish out of water card, a little overplayed that, and it got a little bit foolish and campy at times. But that arc for Castiel, I thought, was the most interesting aspect of the character's journey. In those early years when he was like getting to know Sam and Dean and getting to experiment with, you know, humanity and feeling.
Right?
And then, yeah.
It seemed to be like, to Rob's point, I think it's like, or maybe what you're saying, it felt like it was played less as a joke early on, and that made it work better.
Yeah, I think it became a little bit more formulaic later on, and also a little bit less convincing because, you know, we were playing the fish out of water when it was like, all right, yeah, but actually at this point, he's been around for a really long time and he probably gets it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you, Rob, I was watching this, it was fun watching this episode because you guys were like, watch this episode. And I was like, wow, this has got to be a pretty seriously cast-centric episode. I can't remember quite which one it was. And then it was like, I'd been watching for about 45 minutes and I was like, is Castiel in this episode? Watching you, Rob, well, I mean, watching everybody is like so boyish. Everybody is so young, but you were like, you were just this little whippersnapper, wet behind the ears. I mean, sides, you know,
I know. Now
he's like bushy gray beards.
I know, man. And
you were
so good. Young,
you
energetic.
Were so good. I mean, I kind of forgot. How central and excellent your role was, but your portrayal was great. Did you know, when did you find out that you were God?
At the end of this season 5. So
you had no idea at this point.
No, that was just the prophet.
Do you think that Eric knew, or did...
We finally got a chance to ask Eric when we interviewed him, and he said it was sort of at the beginning of this season, he thinks, they started saying in the writer's room, I think Chuck's going to be God. And they're kind of making a joke because I was the embodiment of the writer's room. you know, my character. And so they were like, are we really going to do that? Are we going to make the writer God? You know, they're kind of joking on themselves. And so they kind of made the, I think, the decision this somewhere during this season. And then the final episode of this season is I narrate the episode and then I kind of go poof and disappear. Mm-hmm. And that was when it was for sure for Eric. But yeah, no, I was just, you know, just a guy coming up to do a part. And, you know, super fun, though. I have such great memories of coming up those early years. And, you know, it was fun. I mean, I didn't even realize when I started that you had just started a few episodes before me in season four, right?
What was your first episode?
It was like season four, episode like 15. But you know, you also started season four, but you're episode one. But
I was like five episodes in or something at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I remember asking you about advice. I remember you being on Twitter and that being a new thing and going, yeah, man, after the episode airs, you can actually look at what people say, what the reaction, you know. So I remember my first episode aired in season four, I went on Twitter. I was like, oh my God, are people going to like me? Are they going to like me? You know?
It's great. It's neurotic people so, yeah. To have that resource.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. And I was saying to Richard early in this podcast that I hit Jared with that plunger, which is a soft plunger. It wasn't a real plunger. It was a soft plunger. But I was supposed to like hit stop before his face and he was going to react.
And made contact.
I was like, I really made contact. But I remember I went up to him. I was like, hey, man, sorry. I really got you that time. And he was like, it's okay. I didn't really feel much. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you know, puny compared to him. But yeah, no, it's funny. It's funny to me. Rich was seeing the episode, he didn't realize I was even in it. I just kind of pop up. You know? It happens a few times in this season where I just kind of pop up.
But yeah. I didn't see it coming. And we didn't really pregame about that one. So
there's another great, there are a couple of great episodes I'm looking forward to seeing.
Well, you guys sent an email. Like, you know, we're going to watch it. We're talking about this episode, but we'll also be just talking about the arc of season five in general. No fucking idea what happened in season five. I do know, like, I have a visual in my head of what the last little bit is where we're, you know, getting Lucifer down into the pit or whatever.
Well, dude, let me tell you something. If you think you know nothing about season five, you are literally the blind leading the naked here, because Rob and I don't have any freaking idea, because we've seen one episode, 501, and you're barely in it. So we have a slew of questions to ask you that you can lie about, because we don't know if you'll be telling the truth or not, because we haven't seen it.
So how much of the show have you guys seen? You're watching it for the first time.
Yes. I've seen the episodes I was in. I've seen a couple of the episodes Richard's directed.
Very little. We're watching it in real time. So, like, I watched 501 this morning.
I can see why they picked you for this job. That makes sense.
yeah. Well, we know that they went to Misha first.
They went to Misha, who was like hard pass.
I was like, I can't do it. I haven't watched the show. It would be a disservice to the fans. Yeah, that episode is called, I mean, look, I'm on encyclopedia here, so I'll just tell you. That episode is called The End.
The End.
And we're projecting forward into the future. And it's like, what year was this that we were filming? It was like 2009, 2008
maybe?
For season five, right? So I think The End took place in 2015. And I remember we were filming and it was like, this was the distant future for that episode. And now it's coming and going. And it was actually kind of prescient. It was like, there was a croatone virus, which is basically COVID, you know, COVID modeled itself.
Yeah.
After
it seemed a little like copyright infringement-y to me.
Right.
Yeah. Both start with a C. And I remember Jensen played, you know, he was in a lot of scenes playing Dean with future Dean. And he had his stunt double doing the off-camera dialogue. And there was steam coming out of Jensen's ears. Like, he was just fried like I've never seen him before. You know, Jensen's like a machine, right? On set. Like, he'll just go and go and go. He was like, I can't. This is killing me. It's just impossible. And he had, like, you know, 8 pages of dialogue where he was both characters in a day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But my character in that episode is future Cass, is like, he's lost his powers. They're living on this like bunker style commune, well fortified and well armed. And the only line I remember of dialogue is, all right, ladies, it's time to wash up for the orgy. And I had a nickel for every time I've said that. But
that was actually in the script. It's weird. That's where I say hoard toilet paper, which is also very prescient.
Right. You guys That's are
right. yeah.
Nostradamus. Nostradamai. So
we are Nostradamai.
In season five, according to this document in front of me, we start to see Castiel make jokes, being the target of jokes, and some of the fans' favorite Castiel moments. According to Samantha Hightail Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, Samantha.
5 out of 11 of Castiel's best moments are from season five. And here are those five moments. Yeah. I'll just wait here then. I don't know what that means, but it's...
But I remember that.
It says right here, episode 504, the end.
That's what it says.
Huh, interesting.
I'll just wait here then.
Well, that's not future cast. That's contemporary cast. And he was talking on the phone with Dean on the side of the road at night. And Dean had to get some sleep and meet him in the morning. And so he just says, standing on the shoulder of this lonely country road, I'll just wait here then. And I think it epitomized Castiel's pathetic, desperate loneliness.
I'm laughing already. Okay, here's another one.
Okay.
I don't understand that reference. Episode 513, the song remains the same.
513.
And it's true. I don't understand this reference.
No? I don't understand that reference, but I do know that that's an iconic Castiel line, but I actually don't remember the context whatsoever.
Yeah, ditto.
Huh. I can't wait. Also, Drunk Castiel from 517.99 Problems.
I found a liquor store and I drank it.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay. Also, the big fight with Dean in Point of No Return.
Episode 518, that is.
No idea.
Nothing.
Well, here's one. Here's one that people say a lot because I hear it at conventions. It's Hey Ass Butt, which is episode 522, Swan Song.
Yep.
Walk me through what happens there. What is that?
So I am throwing, this is right before we're trying to get, Lucifer thrown into the pit, and I am throwing a Molotov cocktail at Jake, and it's made of candy glass. So we actually have a Molotov cocktail prop from props. And if this was a great, a fish out of water moment, like this is Castiel in a badass moment. And he, you know, hurls his like yippee-ki-yay motherfucker moment, right? And it's hey ass butt. Like he can't come up with the right thing to say, but he then hurls this Molotov cocktail that I think is like filled with holy oil or something like that, or whatever it was. I don't know. But it's some like magical Molotov cocktail. And it's made from candy glass. And the thing with candy glass is, you know, you guys probably know this, but it comes in different hardnesses, right? So you can have something that like breaks super easily, or it's like a little bit harder to break. And because this actually has liquid in it, and I have to throw it a distance, it's got to hold together well enough that when I'm throwing it, it doesn't break my hand, right?
Break midair.
So they made it a little bit strong. So I threw it. And I hit him, and it hits him in the sternum and does not break.
Ow!
Which just causes then it's just like being hit with a bottle.
Oh my God.
And so the special effects guy is like, Misha, you need to throw it harder because you didn't throw it harder. So then I throw it as hard as I can. It hits him in the sternum and it doesn't break again. And so then the special effects guy throws it himself as hard as he can. Doesn't break again. And it's it's so painful to watch. And I can't remember how we finally resolved it. We finally got it to somehow break on camera.
And this is hitting Jake Abel? Is that what we're hitting?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
What a bummer.
Yeah. Oh, man. And that's how Jake has a permanent bruise.
Old nose sternum. Wow. That's a little behind the scenes trauma there.
That's
brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Misha, did you ever go to the producers with an idea for an episode?
I did. I had one idea for an episode that was basically like talk radio. It was a little bit political, but it was basically like this sort of like right wing AM talk radio host who actually is sort of infecting everyone's minds with some sort of trance spell, whatever, and basically like creating an army of zombies with their broadcasts. And they're doing it locally. It was like a local AM radio station, and it had created this like pocket of possessions or pocket of people who had been, you know, put into a trance and are perpetrating these murders or whatever, that Sam and Dean go to investigate. And then they discover that this whatever demonic radio host is about to get syndicated nationally. And if that happens, then like the whole, all of North America is lost or something like that. And I pitched that, but they were like, yeah, we like it, but we're actually kind of doing something similar in season 7, because they were getting into some of like the media personalities and stuff like that. So they, which I think is just a nice way to say, we don't like that idea.
Oh,
so I didn't cool idea the way you're pitching it now, though. I like it.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
I like it, too. Season 16, we might have room for it.
Did you ask Eric about the reboot when he was on?
No.
Did we? No, we didn't. We should have.
No.
No. Maybe we'll do that. I'm sure it'll happen. I'm sure it'll happen.
I certainly don't have anything else going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
When there's any mention of it, I'm going to call him and say, listen, I want to be able to focus on this reboot. I don't want to be distracted by all the other calls I'm getting. You probably hear the
I'm
phone
walking into an audition with a contract in my hand.
Just make me a regular now. You know what I mean? Save yourself the effort. Apparently, before you filmed season 5, you also filmed a classic TV movie called The Stonehenge Apocalypse. How was that experience, and where can we watch it, and why would we bother?
Well, you would bother because it's actually a very important work of cinema, and to not watch it is to just have a certain level of illiteracy about the entire body of cinema work. Mm-hmm. It was a sci-fi show. It was a sci-fi movie. It was like they were doing these, like, I don't know, Saturday night movies, and it was, I ended up at the very end having to drop a nuke on Stonehenge in order to prevent Stonehenge from unleashing volcanoes that were going to engulf the world in lava.
Also, it's a science movie.
Yeah, it's very science-based. And I was Dr. Jacob Glazer, and he was a scientist, you know? So I brought that to the role. And
does that mean you owned your own lab coat, or what do you mean by you brought that to the role?
Yeah, I mean, I just brought a very scientific sensibility to the role,
right?
Because of my background as an actor. And you know, I was the star of this movie, and I treated it like this was probably going to be an Oscar contender in the way I approached the work. And we were like 2 weeks into the shoot, into the whatever 3 week shoot. And the director was just chit-chatting. He was like, yeah, you know, these shows, these Saturday night sci-fi channel shows are usually watched as drinking games. And the only notes I've ever gotten, I've done like 10 of these for the sci-fi channel, and the only notes I've ever gotten on my scripts was, you got to make it dumber. And I was like, oh, I think I thought I was doing a different movie somehow.
Right.
I thought this was like, I was really trying hard. And you can see that like green, eager, trying hard attitude that I have, like taking it seriously, where all the other actors are kind of like winking and nodding at the audience. Like, well, we know just like you that this is total garbage, but that kid doesn't. Isn't this funny? Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure it's on some, I don't know, probably you can stream it somewhere or something, or not. It's like a fire sale at a library on VHS. One of the two. Yeah.
Let me ask you the question that Rob's too afraid to ask. Nudity? And if so, how much and with whom?
Yes. Obviously, I will engage nudity and with anyone who will pay me.
Perfect. I think I was, I meant for that movie specifically, but that certainly opens up the future to grand possibilities. Thank you.
I thought you were just talking about my own personal boundaries. I mean, I'll take it off right here if you want.
Oh, that really is. But I talk about the bummer of this being a podcast, you know what I'm saying? If only there were video. Well, that's something for the fans to go find and watch then. Stonehenge Apocalypse. We'll have you back on to talk about that for sure.
All right, I'm going to ask you one other related question to this episode, and then we'll let you go. Back in season 5, eventually I know you moved to Washington State when you were shooting, but back in season 5 when you went up and you were, at this point, you're series regular, did you move to Vancouver, or were you still back and forth from L.A.?
For season five, we moved to Vancouver. That was the year that my wife got pregnant with West.
Ah.
But we were still childless that year. And we rented this. There was this website that listed, it was called Sabbatical Homes. And you could only rent from it if you were somehow involved in higher education. And she was finishing up her PhD at that point. And there was a professor at UCSB who was going on sabbatical that year. And so we rented this like beautiful, kind of like 5-bedroom Victorian house for a song in Kitsilano. And it was totally awesome with like ocean views and really great. And I was like, living here is awesome. And then that the next year that went away and it was like, oh, actually, it's $6,000 for a 1-bedroom piece of shit on the highway.
Right.
Oh, man.
It gave me a very skewed perspective on what the rental market there was like.
Right. But
the first year was actually really quite lovely.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Amazing. Sounds great.
Guys, what do you think? Like, this whole Supernatural fandom seems like it's just still grinding away. We just did a convention in Burbank this past weekend.
Yeah.
And one of you two asked, I believe it was one of you asked for a show of hands about who was new.
A ton of them.
Yeah.
It was like, half the audience.
Yeah, it's about half the audience. I find that every convention I go to, it's about half the people are new.
And for posterity's sake, we're recording this in 2024 and the show has been off the air for years at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could find it on Netflix, but it's just surprising to me that there's still any kind of audience at those fan conventions and that this particular fandom seems to be so vibrant and cohesive.
2020, right? It was the season finale?
2020. Yeah, but it's nuts, huh? None of us ever knew. We'd still be talking about it all these years later.
Crazy. And yet here we are.
I think Netflix helps a lot. I think during lockdown, a lot of people...
I think a lot of people found it.
Saw it for the first time.
I think a lot of people found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go figure, man. Go figure.
Yeah.
And the era of like the 22 episode TV show, at least a new one, it's like kind of over. You know, like I also think it's kind of a dinosaur in that right. It's like it's the full 22, sometimes 23 episode seasons that show would do. That's just not going to be happening.
No.
No. It's a thing of the past.
Part of TV history.
Yeah. We're dinosaurs, you might say.
Rah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Misha, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We're going to have you again when we find an episode in which you have even a smaller part.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much, Misha, man. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Hey, this is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. We are going to take a quick break.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey, it's Jeffrey D. Morgan again. Welcome back to the podcast.
Well, that was great. It's great to talk to Misha, as always. What a great guy. And just, I know the fans will be happy to hear from him again.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great to hear from him.
Looked like he had to think about it.
You know, I was on the fence, but you know what? I'm going to go with it. It was great to hear from him again. No, it was awesome to have Misha. He's always intellectually stimulating and well thought when it comes to these kind of conversations. And this was no departure from that. He was lovely and delightful and entertaining.
I love that man.
And now it's time for, do you know, Rob? Are you ready? Are you prepared?
Is it mythology?
Mythology.
Michael's sword. The Archangel Michael is typically represented with a flaming sword.
Congratulations, Michael. Some believe the lore that Michael's sword was forged from divine light and bestowed to him by God himself, symbolizing his authority and righteousness in combating evil.
The sword is often depicted as a flaming weapon capable of vanquishing demons and protecting the faithful from spiritual harm. Saint Michael wielded it, leading God's army of angels to vanquish Lucifer and the fallen angels from heaven.
While the sword of Michael is not explicitly mentioned in canonical Christian scriptures, it appears in various apocryphal texts and Christian folklore.
Interestingly, if you weren't interested already, there are seven different monasteries, each dedicated to Michael, that form a straight line from Ireland to Israel. This line is referred to as the Sword of Saint Michael.
That's a trip.
I did not know that. I did not know that at all. And so that was very interesting.
That is interesting and factual and also kind of fun. Which makes me wonder if it shouldn't have been under the title of our next segment called Fun Facts, Fun Facts, Fun Facts, Fun Facts.
Get ready, because you may not have known this, but the title of the episode comes from a Rolling Stones song. Pleased to meet you. I hope you guessed my name. And Richard knows every line of that song.
I do. Big fan, big fan.
Yeah, it's a great song, great band.
This is the third season premiere in a row to feature an AC/DC song, a band from Australia featuring the guitar work of Angus Young and his brother Malcolm Young. Thunderstruck was used in this particular premiere. Season 3 had Hell's Bells. Season 4 had You Shook Me All Night Long. All three songs accompany the recap of the previous season.
Wow. Amazing. Wonder what season 2 had.
Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. I don't know.
The host that Lucifer takes is named Nick. In some traditions, the devil is referred to as Old Nick.
Well, that certainly changes the landscape of Christmas.
Christmas.
Down to the chimney comes Old Saint Nick. Burn him! Stab him in the heart! And then run. Okay. Devil's Feud Cake is the name of the Yosemite Sam cartoon that is playing on the plane. That had to be expensive. Also, that really dated the plane, that it was one of those planes that played one movie in the middle of the plane.
Yes, yes. My God.
But I'm sure why anybody under 30 was like, why aren't they watching it on the back of their seat?
What's the up with the plane?
I don't know. What's up with the Yosemite Sam?
Maybe. The domain name morethanbrothers.net is owned by Warner Brothers.
Aw, that's sweet.
Oh, that's the other thing we didn't talk about is Becky, who
plays
a big part of my character's trajectory. And we love Emily is such a good actress. And so it's great. I forgot that she was introduced in this episode. So great. And again, all these things that find their way into a lot of the plot lines that my character was a part of, especially early on, were all just sort of like winks to the audience. Because this is when the show was picking up steam, the conventions start to happen, and people start to write fan fiction. And that's what Eric is commenting on with all these things. And the Becky character really represents that.
Yeah, she's great too, by the way. Such a good actress, so fun. And we'll get into that, I'm sure. Well, I mean, Rob, we're kind of leaving this whole thing I don't know. We're both kind of like off balance. Like, yeah, but nah. But
I mean,
yeah,
I think we're off balance because we're just tired. Because it's been a really long week. But I think that I'm excited. To me, this is the first episode of a really good season, an epic season. And I think you're laying the groundwork here.
You are laying the groundwork.
Again, I think that Pellegrino as Nick becoming Satan is chilling. And I think it's crucial. And I'm in. I'm down. I'm ready.
I'm in. And I'm down. And I'm also ready. Yeah, I'm all those things, bro. Right.
I don't believe you, but I will. I think you're going to come around. I think you're going to come around and go, you know what? I did like that episode.
I will, because of what you already said, which is Mark Pellegrino. He's such a gosh darn good actor, and he's so intense. Yeah. Comes out, and the character, you're already like, yeah, you hate Lucifer, but you also want to see more of that character for sure. You're like, oh, okay, this is going to get interesting. Yeah. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to get into the rest of the season, starting with next week. It'll be episode
usually
two.
How that happens. All right. Well, thanks. Thank you to everybody who was with us.
Yeah.
Go check out the Patreon page and follow us on the socials and be here next week.
All right. We'll see you soon. This episode of Supernatural features Jared Padalecki as Sam Winchester, Jensen Ackles as Dean Winchester, and Misha Collins as Castiel.
The guest stars, which are really a cavalcade of A-level Supernatural family members, include Jim Beaver, Rob Benedict, Kurt Fuller, Mark Pellegrino, Bellamy Young, and Rachel Miner.
And Emily Perkins as Becky. No Sympathy for the Devil was written by Eric Kripke and directed by Bob Singer.
Editing by Anthony Pinker. Music by Christopher Leonards.
Executive produced by Eric Kripke and Robert Singer.
This episode originally aired on September 10, 2009.
This episode of Supernatural Then and Now was hosted and executive produced by Richard Spade Jr. and Rob Benedict.
Produced by Stephen Hine, written by Stephen Hine and Haida Holscher.
And edited and associate produced by Trey Booty. Music provided by Tim Wynn.
The episode was recorded with the help of Sonic Fuel Studios.
This podcast is from Story Mill Media.
Follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok to make sure that China has all of your bank information at SPN Then and Now.
Become a member of the podcast at www.patreon.com/SPN Then and Now.
I do appreciate how backlit you've been this whole
time. Thank you, buddy.
This whole time.
Thank
you. Yeah. We don't even know.
What if
really
I turn on the lights and reveal that it wasn't me? It's Jensen Ackles, and I don't appreciate being accused of being a cheater and Wordle.
Oh my
god. Ha ha. Question. When you said you're gonna take a picture, you know, use do it yourself picture of you and Jared, is that a selfie or a sulfie? Since you're at the sulfur pile, is that a sulfie? Get it?
Yeah, I gotta do this every week, Misha.
I'm so sorry.
Your hashtag selfie. You're welcome to use that in one of your nude scenes you're gonna do.
That's okay.
Thursday. Castiel arrives! Exclamation point. Back from the dead! Exclamation point. He kills the other angels, but a confused Zachariah escape.
Sorry, I'm getting an iced Americano handed to me by Brianna
from
Buckmaster.
From Brianna Buckmaster.
There she
is.
Great, everyone. Thanks. You proud of us?
Real proud of you.
What are we saying? Oh.
All right. Misha Collins, thank you so much.
Mid-salad.
Okay. Misha Collins, thank you so much for joining us.
He is mid-salad. He used to get a bite of salad.
People who are listening to the podcast don't know that. Oh, my God.
I know. That's why I have to describe it to them.
What is that?
Well, you'd be a real bad play-by-play guy.
That's a fish.
Did the thing you saw.
That's a fish. That's a full fish.
No, it's not. It's a pepper.
It's a sardine.
It's a green pepper.
It's a sardine.
Named green pepper.
All right, starting over.
No, this is good. This is the kind of magic. Rob, you can't write this. We're not starting over.
It's a podcast.
You're not going to write it. You're not going to start over.
Rob, like, it's a podcast. You can't talk about looking at a fish. What is that thing that you're holding?
Yeah, you can't talk about those things, Rob. You're all script.
What is that?
First, you did a whole bit about dildos. Now you're talking about fish, Rob. I don't know what you're on, man. Clock in. We're trying to make a podcast. And I want a quick side note to Steve Hine. Get bent for writing that sentence, which was just a landmine of words that I was sure to mispronounce. And I think I did pretty well. I still stumbled over one of them, but I'm on to you, Hine.
Story Mill Media.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.